All right. Do you live to eat or do you eat to live? Do you love to sit down to a well-prepared feast, mixed colors, textures, flavors, well-presented on a plate? Many years ago, when I was a teenager, I worked for Steak and Shake, and they always told me that how it looks on the plate is half the battle of getting them to come back again. It's got to look good. Or maybe you really don't care what it looks like. This is me, by the way. As long as it tastes reasonably good and there's plenty of it, what's the difference? It's not going to look like that when I get finished with the plate anyway. Either way, we all need and search after nourishment. It's the central driving need of our lives. Until we satisfy this need, nothing else really matters. In the scripture from Jeremiah this morning, God has blessed those who trust Him. They will be like a tree planted by the river, the roots sunk deep in the moist soil, a river constant supplying nourishment and energy. Back in the middle 90s, I took the family, we went west for a vacation. We flew into Denver, Colorado. And for mile upon mile upon mile before we got into Denver, you could see this kind of brown earth. It was, I suspect it was mostly wheat, but it might have been just grass that had turned brown. But you also knew exactly where the rivers and the streams and the creek beds were. Even if you didn't see the water, you knew where they were because there were the trees lining the edges of the banks. And you could watch those trees, and you knew that that's where the water was. Even in hard times, maybe especially in hard times, when all around them are in the midst of the drought and they are dying, or at least at best surviving, these trees thrive because they have a constant source of nourishment. They are able to continue to grow, and not only to grow, but to bear fruit. They are able to do the very best. So what is it that nourishes you? What sources do you tap into to provide what you need in life and enable you to deal with the troubled times of life? What do you tap into? Is it physical things? Enough food and shelter and sex and money and drugs to flood the senses and blot out the things that the world demands? Is that what it takes? There's a story a while back, but it's happened over and over and over again. There was this young man and his mother. They had agreed on going together in a little pool for the lottery. They'd each put in $5 and they'd buy 10 tickets, and then they would split the winnings if they ever won anything. Well, one day they won. They won the lottery. And her son called her up and said, "We won, we won." And they were excited. They were talking about how they were going to split the money and how much money they were going to get and what they were going to do with it and what they were going to plan and all that good stuff. But the next morning he calls her up again and he says, "Oops, that ticket that won is one that my wife and I bought separately. And so you don't get half. That wasn't in the deal." And so she sued her son for her half. There's a poem called Richard Cory by a man by the name of Arlington Robinson. "Whenever Richard Cory went downtown, we people on the pavement looked at him. He was a gentleman from sole to crown, clean-favored and imperially slim. And he was always quietly arrayed, and he always human when he talked. But still he fluttered pulses when he said good morning, and he glittered when he walked. And he was rich, yes, richer than a king, and admirably schooled in every grace. In fine, we thought he was everything to wish us to make us wish that we were in his place. So on we worked and waited for the night and went without meat and cursed the bread. And Richard Cory, one calm summer night, went home and put a bullet through his head. Sometimes having it all isn't enough. There's always more. As Luke is saying, cursed are those who have it all because they have nothing to nourish them. So what is it that nourishes us? What is it that keeps us going? Is there something that feeds more than just our bodies? In the book of John, John meets with a woman at a well in Samaria, and he asks her for a cup of water, and she's scandalized that this male Jew would talk to a female Samaritan. And they talk about water, and they talk about living water, and how this living water can well up within her. And she discovers something brand new in her life, a new way to be strengthened and nourished and encouraged. She runs back to town. The disciples who have been in town looking for food for the lunch come back and they offer Jesus his food. And he says, do you not know that I have food that you know nothing about? What sources do we tap into to feed your spirit and our souls, our emotions and our dreams? Well, I think we're nourished when we tap into our friends. Someone who will tell you the truth when you need to hear it. And somebody who will withhold that truth. They are a friend is the one you can call up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you'll get some discussion without too much argument. They know that what's going on in your life and they're going to help you through the drought times of life. It's someone you can be honest with, sharing yourself. You can feel, and you feel the honor of receiving their hopes and dreams. A friend is someone you can trust to share with and dream with. We're also nourished when we are encouraged. When times are rough and we wonder why we do it, sometimes it's that one child, that one adult that says to the teacher, thank you, that helps them keep going on. When I used to play golf, and it's been a while, I would normally shoot about a 110, 115, 118. In case you're wondering, that's not a very good score. Matter of fact, it's almost double par. And sometimes you begin to wonder whether or not you're any gonna get any good, and you despair of getting any good. And you wonder why you go back again. But then you remember that one shot. You know the one shot I'm talking about? Yeah. You remember that one shot, the drive, 200 yards, right down the middle. Or the chip that goes from the fairway up onto the green and rolls right up to the cup. And it's a tap-in. They don't even bother calling it a gimme. It's just there. Or the putt. The putt. You hit that thing 20 feet, and it curls around a little bit of a hill that you almost couldn't see, and it drops right into the heart of the cup. That one putt. That one drive. That one chip out of 115 shots. That's the one that keeps you coming back. Several years ago, I went up to Candler School of Theology. They are having a preaching seminar. And Dr. Craddock was there, and Tom Long was there, and several other preaching giants. They were running this workshop. When we got there on Monday, they gave us a piece of scripture, and we were supposed to write a sermon that week before Friday morning on that piece of scripture. And go to class and do all the other things that we had to do. So I spent a lot of nights in the library and in the computer room typing it all up. But Friday morning I was ready, and it's a little hard to preach that kind of sermon because there was only 6 or 8 people in the room. It's not a congregation. It's just a group of your peers and Tom Long, one of the preaching professors that is well known all around the world. But I did the best that I could and figured that I'd be able to get some kind of feedback and get some information about my style and the delivery and what I had to say and how clear it was. And so I did the best I could, and I sat down And I had a pad and a pen, and I was ready. I wanted to hear from them. I wanted to hear the word that would tell me what I needed to do so I could be better at what I was doing. And Tom Long's only comment to me was that the joke that I told, I needed to wait for the laugh line. I needed to give people a chance to laugh a little bit. I try to do better at that these days. But that didn't give me much, did it? No criticism, no encouragement, just wait for the laugh line. We are nourished by encouragement. We are nourished by the things that people help us with and point us in the right direction and keep us going. We are encouraged when we discover a sense that we are making a difference, that something or someone appreciates what we're doing. The world, a life, the community that we live in is a little bit different because we pass that way and we're encouraged. We're also nourished by our successes because there's nothing that succeeds like success. We are lifted up and empowered. There's a satisfaction in accomplishing something new, something we thought we could never learn that now becomes a stepping stone to even greater things. But that's not just success, but even failure. Failure nourishes us too. It feeds us. In the book Chicken Soup for the Christian Soul, Thomas Edison stood there and watched his lab burn when he was 87 years old. And you know what he did? He celebrated with his wife the burning up of all of his mistakes. And then a month later, he invented the phonograph. It is as we are willing to fail, as we step out in faith despite the odds and risk something brand new, that we discover just how far we can go. All of those are good, but all of those are transient. The one thing that nourishes our very being, the one thing that keeps us going no matter what, that encourages and feeds us and empowers us, is when we tap into God as the source of our very being. When we do that, we are nourished spiritually. When we allow God into our lives to touch us with His presence, to heal the wounds of life and people, to strengthen our faith and the assurance of our salvation, we are nourished when we can listen to how God is at work in people's lives around us, share as they share their understanding of His will for their lives. We can rejoice with them in God's gift of beauty and wonder and fulfillment, as well as comfort and pain and strength and weakness. We open ourselves up to His presence, not trying to prove God or to get a sign from God or to touch God, but to be touched by God. And the source of that, the roots for that, we tap into God's resources through the spiritual disciplines that God has given to each and every one of us. Prayer, communicating, talking, listening to God, and fasting. Relying on God for the sustenance that keeps us going. Not food, not water, but God. And worship. Turning away from the world and acknowledging that God is God and that we are not. And even in giving. When we turn over control of the things that this world counts as the most important thing in the world, when we give it all to God, then we send down roots into His soil. All of these provide the roots needed to tap into the very source of life. In the service of Holy Communion, nobody is going to get his or her fill of food. That little tiny crumb of bread, that little sip of juice does nothing to satisfy your hunger. But they are spiritual food. Food for the soul, bread and drink that lasts for all eternity. And in this food we can feast. We are nourished as we send our taproot down into the river of life that God provides, an ever-flowing stream of living water that enable us to bear fruit even in the harshest of times, even when the whole world turns against us. So what is it that feeds your soul? And when was the last time you were full? Do you miss it? Do you miss being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? God offers a meal to all who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And He calls you to send down your root and tap the source that will feed you for all of eternity. Amen.